This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I think you'll find today's podcast a very fascinating one because it really fills a niche that we haven't really touched upon in a previous episode of Intelligent Medicine, and it has to do with kidney disease. You know, kidney disease is very pervasive in this country. It's often brought about by diabetes and or hypertension. That's a particularly deadly combination. And so lots of people are suffering from failing kidneys, or some people have had entirely failed kidneys. They require dialysis, and they may require transplant. Filling this niche for us in terms of bringing a natural perspective to kidney disease is a unique practitioner. She's Dr. Jenna Henderson. She practices in Danbury, Connecticut, at a practice entitled Holistic Kidney. And she focuses on supporting people with a wide variety of kidney problems. She herself is someone who's suffered from kidney problems, so it's been a learning experience for her. So without further ado, here's Dr. Henderson. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's my pleasure. Okay, first of all, you know, your personal story is quite interesting. Can you share a little bit about how you got interested in this?
Well, I was 22 when I first started with kidney trouble, and I went the route of conventional medicine, and we just weren't getting where we wanted to go. No matter what I tried, you know, things just seemed to get worse, and eventually they just told me, well, you're headed for dialysis. So at that point, I really had nothing to lose.
What was the condition you were suffering from?
FSGS, focal segmental glomerular sclerosis. It's an autoimmune condition.
Wait, and that's a mouthful. Let's see if I can say focal segmental glomerulosclerosis. I get tongue-tied around that word. So for our listening audience, this is some form of autoimmune disorder?
Yes.
Okay. And it results in progressive declines in kidney function. So how did you first notice there were problems? Did you go for a routine blood test and they said, uh-oh, something's wrong, or did you start feeling sick?
I started putting on water weight like crazy. Mm-hmm. My ankles were swollen, my calves, my thighs, everywhere, just putting on water weight like crazy.
So and that's an alarm sign, you know, for kidney problems. I mean, when you put on weight like that, it could be a number of things. It could be a heart problem, so you have to get that checked out. But especially when you put on weight like your weight under the eyes, I mean, swelling under the eyes, like facial swelling, that's sometimes indicative of a kidney problem. And then, of course, there's people with very severe thyroid problems that have whole body swelling. But so anyway, you went to a doctor, said your kidneys were not doing well. What tests revealed that?
Protein in the urine, and that's what we generally see with any type of inflammatory condition of the kidneys. Different types of inflammatory processes like IgA nephropathy or FSGS, also lupus nephritis will present in a very similar way.
So I have a feeling that they wanted to put you on steroids.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
Yes.
Which could make the swelling and the ballooning up even worse, right? Not a pleasant thing.
Yes.
And it didn't arrest the progress of the disease. And all the while, it sounds like you were doing your naturopathic studies at the University of Bridgeport?
No, that came much later. I was actually already on dialysis when I did that.
Okay, so you actually pursued a naturopathic career, perhaps with a view towards understanding your condition better and maybe imparting that knowledge to patients.
Yes, I set out to have a practice that was geared towards kidney patients and filling the gaps that, mm-hmm. you know, the questions that I was asking, I couldn't be the only one asking these questions. So these resources just weren't readily available for kidney patients.
Well, it's fascinating because I've heard of naturopathic cardiologists and I've heard of naturopathic urologists and naturopathic mm-hmm. oncologists, you know, various subspecialties, you know, women's health issues and so on, prenatal issues. But you've carved yourself a niche that is really quite unique. I can't think of anybody else in the natural field who is doing what you do.
There's a handful of us.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're few and far between.
Indeed, indeed. So, what insights did your naturopathic training bring to the problem of being on dialysis?
Well, dialysis is a very unique situation, and things that are good for general health, oftentimes not so good for dialysis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the big things is restriction of potassium.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is in a lot of healthy foods. Do juicing, lots and lots of fruits and vegetables. Maybe the rules change when you have kidney failure or dialysis.
Right. And when you're on dialysis, you no longer want a low protein diet. You actually want to make sure you get enough protein so that you don't get into a muscle wasting state. Mm-hmm. So the goal now is not preserving the kidneys because they're already lost, but preserving the rest of your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are a lot of misunderstandings about the, quote, renal diet. So let's start, you know, let's back up a little bit. And, you know, a patient comes to you with focal segmental glomerulonephritis. You know, you in a different guise. And, you know, how would you approach the problem of progressively worsening kidney function, more protein in the urine and increasing creatinine, perhaps creatinine that's starting to cross the border, 2, 3, 4, and so on. Is there a way of arresting renal failure in some cases with the right kind of diet and the right kind of nutrients?
Diet is part of it. And I get many patients who want to do this completely with diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to approach it from as many angles as possible, especially given that FSGS is really the worst type of kidney disease to have because it goes to kidney failure so frequently. But I use a combination of supplements, diet, and lifestyle changes to really approach this from as many angles as possible.
Mm-hmm. So traditionally, hospital dietitians tell you to be on an ultra-low protein diet if you've got kidney problems. So it is, you know, is it okay? And are there some potential downsides? Say if you have diabetes and you switch to a very low protein diet, but you're eating a lot of carbs?
Right. And I think that's changing. I think now the recommendations are more towards moderate to low and not very low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body strives to keep our blood protein in homeostasis. So in this normal range, not too high, not too low. And if you don't get protein from your diet, your body will take protein out of your muscles. And muscle wasting is associated with poor long-term outcomes for kidney patients. So in the short term, it might make your labs look a little bit better, but it's not sustainable. And you can't keep up this protein deprivation forever.
Right. Yeah, and one of the things I say to patients sometimes when comparing natural products to medications, they say, look, natural products are not invariably safe, but if you walk into a health food store and you know, randomly grab a bunch of bottles and incorporate them in your supplement regimen, you're much less likely to do yourself irrevocable harm than if you're on, you know, 5 or 6 different medications with the potential interactions and side effects. But if you've got a kidney problem, the rules change, right? When
right.
it comes to supplements. So what are some of the supplements that you kind of have to be wary of if your kidneys are borderline in functioning?
Well, oftentimes people will go for the diuretic herbs, you know, things like dandelion and juniper. And a diuretic is a stimulant. It's not doing anything to protect your kidneys. It's just giving them a kick to work harder. And dandelion and some of these other herbal diuretics are also very high in potassium. So oftentimes you go into a health food store and all things renal are grouped together, whether it's kidney stones, urinary tract infections, or chronic kidney disease. So, you know, these are different conditions and, you know, different treatments would be appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Well, so coming back to the condition of autoimmunity, and there are many other conditions, autoimmune conditions, that ultimately cause kidney failure, but yours was more just one. Are there supplements that can put the brakes on inflammation and autoimmunity?
Yes, definitely. And after they do a course with prednisone, typically they'll put you on a harder immune suppressant like cyclosporin or mycophenolate. And these medications, the source in nature is from mushrooms. And we know in traditional Chinese medicine.
Myco is mushroom. Yeah, I didn't even make that connection. Yeah.
Yeah, MMF, mycophenolate. And in China and Japan, they've been treating kidney inflammation directly with medicinal mushrooms for quite some time. The reishi mushroom is very good. It can help with modulating the immune factors and, you know, normalizing the response that, you know, stirring up the immune system. And it also helps with the permeability of the kidneys. So the kidneys are leaking protein when they're inflamed, and we don't want that. So we want the kidney membrane to be tighter and not allow this protein to leak through. So, so oftentimes I use medicinal mushrooms with patients.
Interesting. Specifically, in addition to the diuretics, are there any other nutrients that you may want to be wary of? I think one of them that I'm concerned about in kidney patients, such a beneficial nutrient, very hard to overdose if you have a normal kidney function, but problematic if you have kidney problems, is magnesium, right? You have to be careful.
It's not really as dangerous as a lot of people would believe.
Okay.
Potassium can be dangerous in high doses.
Mm-hmm.
Magnesium, even with dialysis patients who have no renal clearance of magnesium, they found that supplementing magnesium can actually help reduce vascular calcification.
Oh. Okay.
So usually the worst thing that happens with magnesium is you get a little bit of a loose bowel, but it's not dangerous in the same way potassium would be.
Not damaging to the kidneys, or that it could mount very high levels in the bloodstream?
You can overdo anything, but it's not really that likely.
Okay. What about, you know, one of the supplements that I turn to in patients with autoimmune kidney disease is fish oil. Is fish oil appropriate for patients with this condition?
Yes, and most of us get too many omega-6s in our diets and not enough omega-3s. So fish oil can help bring up the 3s and help get us to a better ratio. I want patients to make sure they get an EPA-DHA blend, not just the DHA. And we want to avoid krill oil because that's high in phospholipids, and we don't want a lot of phosphorus.
Phosphorus, yes. That's interesting.
Right.
It actually delivers significant amounts of a mineral that can build up if the kidneys aren't working well. Interesting.
Right, and cod liver oil is super high in vitamin A, which oftentimes runs high with people with either nephrotic syndrome or advanced kidney disease.
So you don't want to use that as your source of fish oil. You want purified fish oil. Another nutrient that even conventional doctors recognize as being important for renal patients is vitamin D, and so they even sometimes prescribe vitamin D. Can you speak to that?
Yes, and like most things with the kidneys, we want balance. So we want the vitamin D within normal range, but on the lower side of normal. Vitamin D increases the absorption of phosphorus. So, we don't want too high. We don't want too much of vitamin D.
Okay, interesting. So you really don't want a mega, mega dose. What about, you know, when your kidneys are really shot, it's thought that you can't go through that transformation step to make the active form of vitamin D, and therefore doctors prescribe something called Rocaltrol. Is that something that you approve of, or do you think people should take ordinary health food store variety vitamin D?
Well, you know, even the less active forms do have some activity. So, yeah, you know, I think either way, you know, we can get what we need. You know, ideally we would get some sunlight, which, you know, kidney patients don't transfer from sunlight quite as well, but there are still some benefits.
Mm-hmm. You take care of all kinds of kidney problems. What are some of the main reasons why people end up with damaged kidneys? Is it diabetes, hypertension? Is it the use of certain medications that damage the kidneys? What are you seeing?
Well, most commonly it's diabetes. You know, that's overwhelmingly the number one reason people go to dialysis. And hypertension would be number two.
Untreated, unchecked hypertension, perhaps.
Right. But even, you know, if it's over a course of many decades, you can get this slow, insidious breakdown of the kidneys. So it doesn't even have to be completely out of control, but, you know, just gradually over the years and sometimes over the decades.
Mm-hmm. It's like an erosive effect. You know, it's just like the stress and strain of that, just the hydraulic pressure on the kidneys can be a problem. What about medications? I recall a woman who came to see me, and she said, I'm on dialysis. And she said, can you give me a list of the nutrients that would be helpful for me? And I said, gee, how did you get on dialysis? And she said, well, I was simply taking ibuprofen. And I was taking ibuprofen for, you know, aches and pains. I wasn't taking that much. She said she was taking about maybe four, sometimes six a day, day in, day out. And pretty soon she went into kidney failure, and it was thought that that was the cause of her problem. Do you see that from time to time, certain medications having that effect?
Yes. Yeah. Lithium is another big one that I often see.
Yeah. For bipolar syndrome. Yeah.
Right.
So you can do yourself harms. Some studies suggest that you can raise your blood pressure because your kidneys aren't efficiently pumping out fluids with even moderate doses of non-steroidal inflammatory drugs.
That's true. Tylenol is the least nephrotoxic of the over-the-counter painkillers, but even Tylenol can be toxic to the kidneys to some degree. They actually found that garlic helps mitigate this effect. So if you need to take Tylenol, take some garlic with it to help protect your kidneys.
Well, say you're on dialysis. I mean, you've got the point of no return. You now need dialysis. There's some nutrients that may be beneficial, because many patients with dialysis, they just feel exhausted. They just feel devitalized. Mm-hmm. And you sound extremely vivacious. You're on dialysis, or you've had a transplant at this point?
I lost my kidneys 20 years ago, 1998. I had a transplant that worked for a few years. I knew someday I would return to dialysis. On average, most transplants last 10 to 12 years. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes longer if you have a living, healthy donor. But I was 32 when I had my kidney transplant, so I knew I would probably outlive the kidney and someday return to dialysis, which I did.
So what are some of the nutrients that are supportive to energy but safe for the kidneys? Because we have to always add that caveat. You can't – all the rules don't apply. You can't take things willy-nilly if you are on dialysis.
Right. So many of these nutrients are washed out in the process of dialysis. Zinc is a big one that's washed out. Also the B vitamins and vitamin C, the water-soluble nutrients. So we need to make sure we replenish those. High-dose coenzyme Q10, definitely good for energy.
I find that's very helpful for patients who are just wiped out from the dialysis process.
Right. L-carnitine tartrate, very good. Tartrate or fumarate, you know, very good for energy. Astaxanthin, and also some of the adaptogen herbs can be good.
What was the last one you said? Was it astaxanthin, did you say? Or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Interesting. Okay, because that's a nutrient that you can obtain from krill, which you said wasn't so good for you. But separately, astaxanthin. And why astaxanthin? It's an antioxidant or somehow?
Yeah, it's helpful? Good for cellular energy.
Okay.
And so you can get algae sourced. Doesn't, you know, necessarily have to have those phospholipids.
So do patients on dialysis, can they just take an ordinary multi, or do they have to take a special renal formulation? And is there such a formulation?
Right. Well, typically the renal vitamins will be the vitamins that are washed out, the B's, C, and zinc. You don't want to do all the same nutrients, certain nutrients like vitamin A that will tend to run high, and that's in most multivitamins.
Mm-hmm. So are there formulas that you can point people to who have renal problems, or should they individualize their supplements? I mean, I'm talking about multivitamins.
Okay. Well, I pretty much start with a good quality B complex, good methylated B, mm-hmm. and kind of go from there. And usually it's not even in one particular. Usually I give people a variety of supplements to take.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what I see in their blood work.
Well, those are some of the prime ones to take. Okay. So at this point, I'd like to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. We're talking to Dr. Jenna Henderson. Dr. Henderson is the leading practitioner of holistic medicine for kidney health, and she has a practice in Danbury, Connecticut, which is entitled Holistic Kidney. She's a naturopathic doctor, and she has a background also in terms of her own personal experience addressing her own kidney problems. She's undergone a transplant and dialysis, and so she has personal insights as well as academic knowledge. So when we return, we're going to talk more about various types of kidney problems and how patients with kidney disease can stay healthy and optimize with diet and natural approaches. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.